Good to see everyone this morning. Let's turn to number 42 in Songs to Remember, number 6. Number 42. Good to have our visitors today, and we are thankful for you. Special day here at Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church as we observe the Lord's Supper. Our music today is going to be a tribute to our Lord and Savior as we are in observation of the Lord's Supper today. Number 42, He did it all for you and me. Number 14, Unworthy.
Thank you. made us his own, was that last phrase of that song. And that is truly what I think every one of us can say. We were truly not worthy of salvation. Now, I did hear years back some time ago, I guess is the way I'll say it, when I said that no one was really worthy of salvation. I had someone that got a little aggravated with me about that statement. But truthfully, none of us are worthy to ever be saved. We were sinners. And we had a Savior. We had a Savior that was willing to give everything about himself. Gave his life. That this unworthy soul could be saved. And I'm thankful for that today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? I pray the Spirit of the Lord will be in our service today. And let's just pray that God will grant us a great big blessing today is what I hope he'll do. And we are glad to see each and every one here. We're glad to have our visitors with us today. Again, today we've got some people who had never been with us before, and we want to make you right at home. We hope you will be. We want you to just come in and worship the Lord in this service. And whatever the Lord leads in you, you follow the Lord. If the Lord allows you to testify, you testify. If he allows you to pray, definitely pray for me, if nothing else, is what I'll ask you to do. And so just follow the Lord today in this service, and let's all be about God's business today. I've got some good news to bring to the church. Most everybody has already heard about this, I think. Of course, you know this church has been in debt for the last several years, building this building, paying for it. Every fifth Sunday, the total donation goes to the bottom line of the debt. Last Sunday, I walked out of the service, and two of the brethren said, "Here, look at this, look at this." I looked at it, and I said, "Huh?" That's what the donation was today. And it covered the loan completely. Yeah. That's a great big blessing. The church is completely out of debt. And we all met at the bank. Oh, well, I said, shouldn't say all of us, Brother Key and Brother Bill and Brother Chris. And I met at the bank with the banker. And Brother Key handed him a check for the exact amount and paid off the church. And it's out of debt. And I'm thankful for that. And that's good news to pass on. I don't think the Lord really likes a church being in debt. The way things are these days, I think it's kind of inevitable for churches to be in debt at times. But I'm thankful for you paying off the bill like you did. And not many places could take that kind of a debt and pay it off in that short amount of time. And I'm thankful for each and every one that has contributed to that. And we just pray that we'll continue on growing and doing for the Lord. And what I'll say is I don't want you to just go extravagant giving, although I want you to enjoy the blessing of giving is what I want you to do. And what I mean by that, if you continue to give, we can do for the church without being in debt. When we've got circumstances like it's in East Tennessee and North Carolina and places like that, we can help those people better now if we've got a good ground in that place. So let's keep that in mind today as we continue on as the work of the Lord. We are glad to see each and every one here today. I appreciate we've got several out today because it's fall break in schools, and so everybody went, is the best way to say it. I think there's been a lot of things going. Hopefully they're not going to Florida or started to Florida where the hurricane is headed now, is what I hope they haven't done. If not, I hope they get out of there in time. Let's be prayerful for the ones that are not here today. Let's pray that the Lord will bless them, take care of them, and bring them back to be with us is what I hope and pray that he will do. We're going to move on with our service today as we always do. We try to do a little bit of something for the children and have a little bit of a children's church. Brother Sam, if you will, at this time, appreciate you. All the kids.
If there's a few kids here today.
Come on, kids. Got a few here. You won't go? Oh, come on.
Wow. It's the thinnest crowd I think we've had.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think the biggest crowd we've ever had is like 21 that I remember counting, but I like that. That was my thought. Y'all are the cream of the crop. Y'all are it. So, flip a coin. Well, maybe I won't make you speak too much, but I'll give you what's on my mind. Okay, what is a symbol? Somebody tell me what a symbol is. A symbol is something that represents something else, right? It makes you think of it, right? Are there any symbols in this church? Yeah. I'll call to your attention two of them. There's that thing. What is that? The flag. That's right. And there's another flag over there, right? They represent something. This represents what? What flag is that? American flag. It's our country's flag. All right. Now, what do the red and white stripes represent? The 13 original colonies. I like that. Y'all are learning good. That's right. And the field of blue represents what? Being pure and righteous, right? We'll call it that. And the stars, what do they represent? There's 50 of them. The states. Okay, for extra credit, what are the four states that were added to that in the 1900s? Oklahoma, Arizona, Hawaii, and Alaska. Okay. That'll be on the test, okay? Okay, what does that flag over there represent? You know what that is? The Christian flag. Thank you. Man, y'all are good. Y'all are my best students ever, okay? I like that. It represents everything about Christianity, the Red Cross, Jesus' blood, and the cross that he died. Speaking of crosses, there's a big one right up there. What do you think of when you see that? Jesus. That's right. Is there anything else here today that represents Jesus? There's a little table that's down in front of... The Last Supper, the communion. There's two things under there. Do you know what they are? The bread, the unleavened bread, and the fruit of the vine. That's right, the two things. What do they represent? Anybody know? His blood and his body. That's right. I thought that's what you said. They represent that. And there's nothing magical or miraculous about that. But it's very righteous that we do that. And if he preaches about that, I don't know what he's preaching, but he may mention it, he may not. But that represents something. And especially to the whole world, but especially to those of us today who may partake of that. For extra credit, what's the six words on the front of that little table? You see it every Sunday. What are they? And it was something that Jesus said. And it was something about symbolizing him. This do in remembrance of me. That's right. So whether you're looking at the cross and thinking of Jesus, where we're taking that and thinking of Jesus, just know that he's alive and he is the same all the time. All the time. And there's nothing better. So y'all three gather together and we're going to say this verse, okay? I know you can do it. Come over here, Cohen. Come on. I want you to say it loud so they can hear it across the street. This is Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same today and yesterday and forever. Don't forget the test next week. Thank you.
And I've got a test coming up too, so it's good to see everybody again. I appreciate Brother Sam doing the children's church. We miss all of our kids that are not here today. We usually have about 3 to 4 times that many. And like I said, with fall break, many people are traveling. And let's just pray for their safe return. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. And so, does anybody have a prayer request on your heart this morning? We had several during our Sunday school this morning, and I'm going to repeat mine. Some of you may know him. Brother Jerry Reynolds is a preacher from up in Kentucky. He was a great friend to me, a great inspiration to me. But Brother Reynolds has had several medical problems over the last few years, but I heard Thursday night that his mind has left him. And basically, he walked out to the church he used to pastor. He didn't know what the building was. He didn't know the name of the church, and he didn't. He just knew it was a special place to him. So be prayerful for him and his family. It's a hard thing for anybody to lose their ability to think, I guess you'd say. And he had probably one of the most brilliant minds that I've ever been around. And to hear of him being like this, it hurts me, and I know it hurts his family. So anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? I appreciate each and every one being here today. I do want us to remember the people in East Tennessee in our prayers. East Tennessee and North Carolina and all the hurricane victims, we want to remember them in our prayers. It's been requested today that we have an altar prayer. And the reason for this altar prayer is two main reasons. To remember those people in trouble up there, but also to be thankful to God in this prayer. That's one of the things that we're supposed to do in our praying, is to be thankful. Most time we get down to pray and we say, well, Lord, I'd like to have this. I'd like to see this person saved, and I'd love to have the church do this. And we have our want list, basically. But we're also to be thankful during as we pray. And this debt being wiped out is something to be thankful for. So I want us to be thankful for it today, and I want to invite everybody that will, if you can't come up here, that's fine, but everybody that will, come up here into the altar area, and let's have an altar of prayer, of thanks, but also remembering these that are in so much trouble and out east from here. But also, let's remember our lost souls. Let's keep them on our hearts too. We still got some of them here today that needs to be saved. And today would be a great day for them to be saved. Everybody that will, let's come into the altar and let's all pray. Everybody that will.
Just stand right there and let's sing number 58. This day is about our Lord and Savior. And what a lovely name that it is. Number 58. Come on, sing it out. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Number 31. Number 31. We'll sing the first and last verse. Number 100. Number 100. Do we thank the good Lord enough? I don't. I want to, because he's been so good to me. My family, my church. What a joy. Thank him this morning while you sing this song. I'll thank my Savior for it all. Come on.
Brother Stewart started out this morning thanking some people in our Sunday school class today. And I am thankful for our song leaders. Brother Key does a good job. We have others that fill in for him, and they do a good job. And we have Miss Shirley playing for us again, and I've been missing her. And she's been not well lately, and so we are thankful that she's able to be able to play for us again. As we said, today is a special day in the church. And for us today, it is something for us to remember the Lord by. This service will end a little different than usual, is what I'll say. We usually end our service with a prayer. But today, as the scripture says, we will end it with a song. And then we'll leave the church after that, is what we'll do. I don't really have many announcements today. I don't usually do this until last, but let's do remember the different things as far as Bible study on Wednesday night. We do have a meal at 5:30 for everyone to come and fellowship one with another. And then on next Sunday, let's remember our regular services also. So keep that in mind today, as our announcements are given at that way. Today, I'm going to take my reading lesson from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I've not always preached about communion on Communion Day. Lord's led me different times to do different things. But seemed like since I've been here at this church, that's the way he has led. This message will be a little different today. I don't think that I've ever preached it in this, we'll say this direction, is what I'm going to do. If it goes the way I think it will, I'll put it that way. So I ask that you pray for us today. This is a solemn ceremony. It is a day of remembrance for each and every one of us. And we are to remember the Lord's body and blood that he gave for our souls that we might be saved. That's the reason for the communion. Let's start reading our reading lesson today. And we'll start with verse 23. And he says, Paul writes, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." Let me stop for just a moment. That word damnation there means judged. Judgment is what it actually means, not the damnation that we generally think. And as so many people says, if you taking the Lord's Supper wrong, you're damned to hell. That's not what he's talking about. He says drinketh judgment to himself. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," he says. Now that kind of goes with the judgment there. For if we would judge ourselves, we should be judged. Now, if you go back and look the actual Greek, this word judged and the word damnation are the very same Greek word. So judgment does fit there. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And that's for our reading lesson, verses 23 down through 32 for our reading lesson today. I asked you to pray for me today that this message will come out the way the Lord would have us to preach this today. I brought several things in emphasis as far as the way that I read them, but especially do in remembrance of me. I did that twice. I did it for a purpose. And that purpose is, that is the main reason why that we take of the Lord's Supper. The Lord wanted us to remember what he did for us, in that he gave his body, he gave his blood, that we might be saved. Now, a lot of people might say, well, I think I would remember it without taking of the Lord's Supper in this time. I think I would remember it. I do too. I think I would too. But it is good for us to have a special time set aside for us to remember. It brings emphasis to it. Now, me personally, I'm not a big birthday person. I did not grow up with big birthday parties all the time. Maybe you did. That's fine. My grandkids, they get birthday parties. My children got birthday parties. We celebrate them. It's good to remember them, though. It's good to have that time that you have set aside to remember those things. It's a special time. When Sister Otto, who is our oldest member now, back a few months ago, they had a special birthday party for her on her 90th birthday. That was special. And it commemorated in her family about her age and about what she had done in her life. In this today, we are to remember the Lord in this service today. We are to remember, as I said before, his body and his blood that was given for us. Now, a lot of people have in their minds, well, just anybody can take of the Lord's Supper. I beg to differ with them because Scripture teaches different on that. A lot of people have in mind, well, just anybody can take of it. But if you look at the direction that the Lord and the example that the Lord gave, He limited it, is what he did. There is basically five main things that basically God put in place, or the Lord put in place, as emphasis as to who can take of the Lord's Supper. When Jesus set up the Lord's Supper that very first night, or that night before he was crucified, everybody in the house was saved. Did you realize that? Everybody in the house was saved that took the Lord's Supper. The second thing was, every one of them had scriptural baptism, and I believe they were members of the Lord's church myself. The church had already been organized by the Lord. He had said, I will build my church. And he had called his disciples together, and he chose out 12. And out of those 12, he called them apostles. And you go back and look at Corinthians, Paul's writing, he said, and he placed first in the church apostles. So I believe these apostles that were there at the supper, at the Passover, I should say, that night, they got to observe the Lord's Supper there with the Lord that night as he instituted this as a time of remembrance to us. Now, I'm going to say there is a third one that's not necessarily put in Scripture, but it begs to be put in place because the members should be in good standing with the church. If they have sinned enough or maybe gone off into heresy, They really do not have any business taking part in the Lord's Supper. Some people may differ with me on that, and that's fine if you do, but I do. I believe it's important for church members to be in good standing with the church in order to partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, the fourth thing and the fifth thing really go together a lot, but the fourth thing is to be in the right frame of mind. Going back to what Jesus said, when you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. You're supposed to have your mind upon the Lord. You're supposed to have your mind about the body of Christ. And that's what we're going to be preaching about today, is especially having your mind upon the Lord. And thinking about this bread today, it's not the body of Christ, but it's a symbol, as Brother Sam said, for us to think about the body of Christ. When we take the fruit of the vine, as the scripture tells us, it is to remind us of the blood that Jesus gave for our sins. And it's to be a reminder of us. That is what it all reminds us is to do, is to remind us of these things. Now, the fifth part goes hand in hand with these things. It really involves all of the above, but I want you to notice is in our lesson today, verses 27 through 29 is basically where we're going to take the main part of our message today. I do not want to be one of these preachers, and I've heard tales of church members years gone by that basically when they went into a church service where communion was, the preacher preached so hard upon right living. He was right, don't get me wrong, but the people did not feel that they were worthy to take of the Lord's Supper, and they keep their seat is what they would do. My idea today is not to make you feel unworthy. My mind is today is to be as Paul said in 2 Corinthians in the 13th chapter in the 9th verse that we wish for you today is perfection. Now, are you going to be perfect? No. Is everybody in this church going to have a perfect mind during this service today? But that word perfection there means completeness. And what it means for us today, it means that we should be completely in the mindset of remembering the Lord in this service today. We are to keep it in mind what the Lord has done for us. I like to think a lot of times, and I preached at different times on communion days and, of course, other services, how that Jesus was beaten, how he was slapped, how he was hit, and it brought forth blood, no doubt. The bruising that he took as they hit and beat on him, as he was carried by the Romans and scourged, the whips, the 39 lashes, if you would, upon his back, and how it would have ripped his body and all of that being done. And the blood that flowed from that is something for us to remember. That is a great thing that our Lord did for us. It was a great thing that he did for us. And on top of that, him bearing his cross, the weight of that big hunk of wood is the way I'll say it, and just the fact that it was so weighted upon him bearing that cross from the judgment hall of Pilate all the way to the Mount Calvary, and then them nailing his hands to that cross, and then nailing his feet to it also, him suffering through that and probably for about 6 hours, him struggling for breath and weakness because of the loss of blood and the beatings and no sleep and all of those things that were put upon him. All of these things are to be a remembrance for us. And that's why the Lord said, as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Now in verse 27, he said, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. Now, what does it mean to be unworthy today? Well, Mr. Webster had a definition. I also found some other definitions that were out there. Unworthy is basically meaning without faith, is what some people said. Without reverence unto the Lord. I still like to go back to the scripture where the psalmist David said, holy and reverend is his name. In other words, lifted up is what he is. We are to lift up the Lord's name as we partake of this Lord's Supper. Maybe not so much in our actual voices, but in the very thoughts and intents of the Spirit of God. We're lifting up the name of God unto all that are about us today. And the other definition is without sincerity of soul. That's unworthiness is what one said in that scripture today. In other words, they're not deserving. That's putting it in plain language, isn't it? Not deserving to be able to partake of the Lord's Supper in that way. Now, in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And what he's saying to us today, it is important for us to examine ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about the sin you did last night, or maybe it was this morning. I'm not talking about examining yourselves on those things. I do think it's important for us to examine ourselves in that nature. If we have a sin that is reoccurring, maybe it's even just a one-time sin that we have had in the latter part of this time, we are to go to the Lord before we take of the Lord's Supper, and we should ask forgiveness. Yes, ask for forgiveness for that sin. Maybe it's a sin of anger. Maybe it's a sin. Maybe it's a little white lie, as we call it. Maybe it's a sin of an indulgence, eating too much. Maybe it's an indulgence of other things that we have. We are to ask the Lord forgiveness for it, and I would say this, it's important that we mean what we're saying when we ask the Lord for forgiveness. He said, if you'll ask believing, it shall be done unto you. In other words, the Lord is merciful. He is gracious. He is wanting to forgive us our trespasses. And if we will ask him with a sincere heart, the Lord will forgive us our sins. Now, so to examine, to test ourselves, to make sure that when we are taking of the Lord's Supper, it is important for us to judge ourselves, to test ourselves. Now, going on to verse 29. And he that eateth and drinketh unworthily drinketh damnation, judgment, as I said before, to himself, not discerning the body, the Lord's body. Now, the important words there is discerning. This is the important key word to this verse. What does it mean to discern? It means to understand. It means to bring it to your heart and mind what it actually means. What he's talking about, discerning the body and blood of Christ, is thinking about this piece of bread that you will be taking will be like the body of Christ. Think about that for a moment. As you partake of that bread, it is to remind us of that body. And as I said earlier, all of the pain, the sorrows that he went through, hanging on the cross, carrying our sins with him in that place, it is important for us to discern. Now, I realize today there are religions out there that will tell you that when you partake of that bread, that somewhere in between the time you pick it up and you put it in your mouth, it changes. That's not discerning the body of Christ. That's not discerning the body of Christ. What it is, that's making up a fake thing to make you feel better. What he's saying about is we are to understand, as Brother Sam said, a symbol that is to remind us of Christ and of his saving grace, of his body, his sacrifice that he gave for us. Now, I do want you to notice there is a penalty here. For he said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. There's many people today wonders why there are sickness in their families. Do we not? Lord, why did this happen? Lord, why did I lose this person or that person? Now, I'm not going to lay it back to when you took the Lord's Supper and it was and you took it unworthily. I'm not laying it to that. But I want you to take it that serious. I do. I want you to take it so serious today that it might mean your loved one. It might mean your own health. When he said some are sickly, I think Paul understood the sincerity of this. If you go back and you look at these Corinthian people, oh, they had made a party out of the fact of the Lord's Supper. And when I say a party, it was like one of our church dinners when everybody brought their food in and they was all just celebrating with that food, with that they had. And some of them couldn't even wait for the others to get there. So they would eat and they would drink, even to the part of gluttony and drunkenness is what they was doing. And Paul was reproving them for their sins. He was saying, you took it unworthily. You took it unworthily, and you're wondering why you've got so much sickness and death in your area. He said, for this cause many are sick and sleep. And in case you're wondering, that sleep means death. It's not meaning they just laid down and went to sleep. He's meaning you are to have it in such a serious minded in your heart today. As you partake of this Lord's Supper, you are to take it thinking about Christ. Anybody got the problem of, well, I'm going to use it this way. Squirrel! You ever watch a dog and a squirrel runs through there? Whatever he was doing, he's diverted. Sometimes we get diverted in our thoughts. But the scripture wants us to know that we are to fasten our mind
around the bread and the fruit of the vine today in the service. To remember what it symbolizes, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, that we might remember it in such a way. Now, dropping down to verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Whoa, wait a minute here. If we would judge ourselves, what does that mean, judge? Examine. If we will look upon the things that we in our life today, most people consider everybody else more judgmental than themselves. Is that not true? We go watch our granddaughters play soccer. There's some kids on that team that are better than my granddaughters. But my granddaughters are good. I want you to know that. But that's my opinion. That's my judgment. When you look at me, you have a judgment about me. God also has a judgment for us. And what I want you to think about today, as much as anything, judge yourself first. Knowing that you're saved, knowing that you've been baptized into the Lord's church. You've got scriptural baptism. Knowing that you're in good standing with the church. Knowing that you're in the right frame of mind. You've judged yourself. And you've got the knowing where you're at with the Lord in this moment in time. Oh, you may not be there about an hour from now. But right now, you're thinking about Jesus. You're thinking about Him saving your soul. You're thinking about what He gave for you. You're thinking about those things. So you're judging yourself. You're checking your mind. You're checking your heart. But when we are judged, this is what we got to make sure we do. If we judge ourselves, we won't have to be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. That means disciplined. In our younger days, most of us older ones, that meant we got a whipping. And I've got whippings from the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, they were worse than my daddy's or my mother's was. Because he didn't take stripes to my rear, I'll say it that way. But he took stripes to my heart. He chastens those that he loves, though. He chastens his own, is what the scripture says. He said that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, that condemned with the world is this. I want you to understand this today. This message has been more of a teaching message, and I'd rather preach, to be honest with you. But this message has been teaching for us. When he said that we would not be condemned with the world, that means we get judged by the world. I'll ask you a question. How many times have you been in church on a Lord's Supper day and you saw somebody and you judged them? Well, they didn't need to take of that Lord's Supper. You ever done that? It's not for us to judge. It's not for us to know their hearts. We are to get ourselves in place. Yes, we will be condemned with the world if we do not do these things the way we should. We will be judged with them. And what that means, we'll be likened as them. They'll see us as one of these people is running up down the street here at church time. They'll see us as one of those people we know that we know are at home watching the football game. They'll see us as just one of those people that's out here on the lake or somewhere like that. Maybe they're shopping. Maybe they're just sleeping in. How will you take the Lord's Supper today? Like I said, I've never preached a message like this for this, but the Lord's got his reasons. As much as anything, the young ones today, they'll take these things into heart, that they will remember what this Lord's Supper is all about. That it's not just something we do twice a year. Hey, we get to try some of that bread today. We get to take a little taste of the fruit of the vine. It's not about what it is, but about what it symbolizes. I want you to think today about this and keep it in remembrance today. I want us to remember that today the Lord has blessed us with the opportunity to remember Him in this service. Find the Lord as He met with them there in the upper room that day. The scripture said that after that they had ate of the Passover. Now the Passover was from the time of Moses when the children of Israel were brought from the land of bondage. And as they came together in that place that day, He told them to remember them. And one of the things that it said in the scriptures was that they should do this every year at the same time. And what the scripture said, this was what that Jesus was doing at this time. They had eaten the lamb. They had taken the bread, the unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and they had consumed them as a meal. Now, after that it was over, the Lord took the unleavened bread, and the scripture said that He broke it and that He gave it to them that they might eat. Today, as I break this bread, it should symbolize in your mind the body of Christ. You might say, well, you break that bread very easily. I do. The Romans did what they did very easily. They took a man that had no sin and they broke him down. They got him to a place where he could just barely even stand. And as they did that, hung him on a cross. Do this in remembrance of him. As you partake of the Lord's Supper today, I hope and pray that you will remember the requirements. This church, we observe the Lord's Supper in a close communion, we call it.
We allow members of
churches of like faith and order to partake with us. And if you're a member of a missionary Baptist church like ours that preaches and practices like us, you are welcome to take with us this communion in remembrance of the Lord. I will ask you today, after our prayer, to stand, and we'll call our two of our deacons up front, and they will serve you. What they will do. Let us go to the Lord in prayer, because the Lord gave thanks for that. Thanks for this and the Lord today. After they had partaken of the unleavened bread and of the fruit of the vine, the Bible says that they sang a hymn and they left the church. So, Brother Key, if you will, we'll be dismissed after this song.